I'm calling this the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Now, I want to read you a little bit, and I want to look at the shepherd. Because, guys, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know. It's such a revelation. If you can begin to see the truth of the matter, but Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because we think God is angry, or God is this, and Jesus, thank God he came just in the nick of time because God was about to kill us all and wipe us all out. But I asked people who tell me these things, I said, who did Jesus give cancer to? Name one person that Jesus smote. Just name one. Just name one person that Jesus threw a rock at. Just go ahead and give it to me right there. I mean, we pretty much got his life sectioned out right here in four Gospels and even Father. I mean, name one person that Jesus went to the funeral and said, he got what he deserves. I smote him down. Name one. You can't. But see, that's Jesus over here. And God's over here, right? God is the one who is out to kill everybody and flood the world. And have you heard this one? I mean, it's in the Bible. We got to look at it in its context. He flooded the world one time and killed everybody off except for eight people. Next time, by God, he's coming with fire and he'll burn your house down. Sounds like the big bad wolf to me, don't you? I'll huff and I'll puff and you know, I'm coming in and... You know, think a little Red Riding Hood. Oh, my grandma, why my what big teeth you have? Because that's what we think. And then you compound sin on top of that when you do mess it up. And you think, well, and this is it. No, I wasn't living at the foot of the cross. And I knew I just flat blew it. So we have this expectancy. And then, you know, I deal with people who think they're it. And if you mess with them, God will get you. You know what I mean? You know, I think I'm out of the loop here. I'm out of the loop. And we're going to talk about this. And people will flock to an angry God getting ready to blow up the universe and wipe everything out and put billions of people in a burning hell. They will flock to it, buy every book, go to the book signing, watch it on TV, go to work and talk about it. But if you talk about a good, good Father, who cares? The reason being is because I'm one of the good people that's going to heaven while the rest of y'all get what you deserve, because there's only a few that's going to make it in, and by golly, I'm one of them because I repented. I read my Bible 28 hours yesterday, said 47,000 prayers. I prayed for everybody. I've done it all right. I'm living at the foot of the cross, and blessed be God. You'll see when I get into heaven and you go to hell, Jesus will look down at you and say, I told you so. Jimmy was a good person. Right? I have no concept of anything. But if he's the good shepherd, we're the sheep. Sheep are stupid. So I have to come to that conclusion right out of the gate. Yeah. That puts me in the lot of being stupid too. Let me read you some. It's not good to come on Sunday and not read out of the Bible. I'm going to start in John chapter 9, and I want to start about verse 39. This is coming at the end of the... story where Jesus heals the blind man. I always wonder how old this kid was. He's called a man. Who did sin, this man or his parents? You know how the question started. The man is blind. Who did sin, this man or his father? Or his parents, you know, who's sinned? Somebody call something here, right? I mean, surely this must be the punishment of God to blind this man. We know the story how Jesus made spittle and put on the ground the guys can see. Next thing you know, this is the guy that says, I don't know who this guy was. All I know is I was blind, now I see. Well, they kick him out of church, you know. It's what happens when your eyes get open. You get kicked out of church. Not the church, but I'm just telling you guys. When your eyes get open, you get kicked out. You got to go somewhere else, Roger. You know what I'm talking about. You got to go somewhere else. You're not welcome there anymore. That's okay. Look at verse 39. Jesus said, for judgment I come into the world. Now don't take this in a negative connotation. Remember, we even talked about this. For judgment I come into the world. That's not I'm setting up here, you did wrong. Judgment is a set things back right term. It means things weren't right between us, Josh, and for judgment I've come to restore this thing. Judgment, we look at it through a dark lens and we think, judgment, oh God. But judgment is a wonderful thing because there was something between us and now judgment is restored. Jesus said, for judgment I am come. This man was blind and now he sees. I have come to set things right. That they which see not might see. And that they which see might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? I've heard that very question. You know, different words. Are we blind also? We know this guy was blind from his birth on. We know this guy was blind. But now the Pharisees are saying, are you telling me I'm blind? I'm telling you what, guys, you want to ruffle some feathers, go to somebody who has natural sight and tell them they're blind. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about it in a spiritual sense. I've told somebody, you're blind and you see not. Great anger arises. I'm just telling you something natural here. Great anger arises. And you know, I hear all their credentials. Little Jimmy, I've been in the church longer than you've been alive. You're telling me. And then they just sit by on the perch and say, well, you just wait. I know God. I know how he is. And you cross me, you just wait. Kidney stones is coming in the mail for you. Right? And if something happens, see, I told you. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see it. Therefore, your sin remaineth. For judgment I'm come. I am come to set things right between us. But you say, they're already right, and I don't even need you. Then Jesus goes on to say something right here. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. The same as a thief and a robber. You know the story. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them. Remember where we're at. The blind man just got healed. He didn't even know who Jesus was. He said, I don't know. I was blind, now I see. So he's speaking this parable. He's just healed this guy, and now he's bringing him in to this. And it says, but they understood not what things were which he spake unto them. So Jesus heals the blind man. He speaks this parable to them. They're claiming, are you calling me blind? You get the whole scene of what's going on here. And Jesus speaks the parable and they don't understand it. Then, here's the meat of the text I want to say. Then Jesus says, verily, verily, true, true, listen, that's what he's saying. Let me get your attention. I say unto you, who's he talking to here? He's talking to these Pharisees and these people that are gathered around him that are ticked off that this blind man now sees, and now this guy is worshiping in the temple. He wasn't even allowed to go there. A few minutes ago, he sat outside with a tin cup. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. What's the thief doing? The robber here, he's got one purpose, one agenda. Steal, kill, destroy. I know that sounds like three agendas, but still, it's one agenda. Destruction to the sheep. This is Jesus talking. I am come that they might have life. Listen, might have, might is not a word that we like using today. I might go fishing tomorrow. I don't know yet. We'll see. Maybe. This might is of a surety. I am come that of a surety, these sheep will have life. I am the assurance of it. I am the assurance of it. I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. Do you ever wonder these things? How can you have life and then have more abundant life? You know, to me, I'm always thinking, well, you might live in this kind of house, but I live in this kind of house. You know what I'm saying? I got more money than you. That's how we think of abundantly. But he's telling them, I'm coming that they might have life, not just life, but this life might be lived to its fullest potential. You ever think about that? Jesus come that you might live to your fullest potential? To your fullest potential, eternal life, partakers of divine nature. I mean, it gets me excited when I think about it, guys. I'm just telling you, it gets me excited. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one shepherd. Did you hear that? One fold, one shepherd. I mean, it would be better if Jesus, this would be more realistic to us today. Jesus said, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall many be to many denominations. It would have been better if he would have said that, wouldn't it? Then we would be more to the along the lines of the way they are. But I believe he said there shall be one fold, one shepherd. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. I mean, this is a picture here. Of all the pictures of Jesus in the Scripture, this one, to me, just shows out so much glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Listen, I wasn't raised in a school. Work. And y'all remember the little picture of Jesus carrying the little lamb? It was on all the Sunday school walls. Jesus holding the little lamb. That's a great picture. People who know nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ know he's a shepherd. It's even that's filtered through the lens of the lie. They don't know what it means, but they say it's even on the Sunday school walls. He's a good shepherd. He's the good, good shepherd. Now look. Verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But look at 14, the same thing. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and have known of mine. I know my own and they know me. But if we're going to talk about this for a few days, a few series, we gotta look at what a shepherd means. I mean, how many of you guys are shepherds? How many of you ever shepherded a flock? I mean, in this part of the country, it's not even known for sheep around here. People might have them for a little bit, but I mean, this is cattle country, right? I mean, this is cattle country. I know on the back side over here going up to the house, there's a guy got some sheep in the field, and I always think, wow, what a picture of the church. What a picture of the church. He's got his sheep, Roger, and he's got them fenced in for one. There's no fence here. There's no fence in the Bible. He leads them from pasture to pasture. There's no fence. Fences is something we put up. And in this field, I can take you over there right now. You know who the shepherd of that field is? He's a donkey. He's got a mule out there in the middle of that field to watch over the sheep. And I said, man, American church. I got something on my mind right here I want to say. You know what a donkey is? I'm just having these thoughts go through my mind, Roger. A donkey is an ass. And the ass is the pastor of the sheep.
I just had to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the American church. Who's your pastor?
I don't feel that way.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, amen. That's the way it is. So it's all right. Who's your pastor? Our pastor is an ass.
Amen.
Amen. You see what I'm talking about? And if not that, I know this other guy lives over at Tracy's. They got some sheep out in the field, and they got them white dogs. What's the name of them?
Great Pyrenees.
What?
Great Pyrenees.
Pyrenees. So they got Pyrenees dogs watching the sheep. So you got donkeys and dogs watching the sheep. But this ain't that way.
No.
This ain't that way at all. He's the good, good shepherd.
Yes, amen.
He's the good, good father.
Yes.
You know, he gets the dogs out of the field and the donkeys out of the field and tears the fence down. He's a good, good father. So we got to throw our American definition out the window. And in the Bible, and what he says here, a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. It was a part of his job. It would just come on the. It just come as a part of the job description. When a farmer was doing job interviews, looking for a shepherd for his sheep, one of the criteria was that he would give his life for the sheep. You know, when you check it out, will you do this? Will you do this? And this is required of you. One of them was give your life for the sheep. Now here's something else. The shepherd has no other ambition. Now think about what I'm telling you. No other ambition but to watch over the sheep. He has no other thoughts. He's not trying to build a city. He's not trying to make plants and birds and trees and rocks. And he's not trying to get his degree in part-time. His whole ambition is to watch over the sheep. And he would die for a sheep. The shepherd here was the guide of the sheep. The guide of the sheep. He would give his life to the sheep just to be their guide. And he'd lead them, you know, in these desert times through the deserts and wilderness and mountainsides and hillsides and wilderness. He was the sole director of all the sheep's activities. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That was a shepherd. He led them all the time. He watched over them all the time. He didn't have a farmhouse that he went to. He didn't go out into the field and work in the field all day and then leave the sheep in the presence of the Great Pyrenees and the donkeys while he went back to sleep in the comfort of his farmhouse. See, this is the God of the American church. Jesus came here, he watched over sheep a little while, and got on a spaceship back to heaven and left and went way off and left us down here to wander around in the wilderness by ourselves to get lost. No, the shepherd stays with the sheep even in the nighttime. Even, Kathy, when you think he ain't there. In those days, the mountain lions would come up. You know, the big cats would come up, and they would come up. Well, sheep is easy prey. What can a sheep do? He's got no claws. He's got no teeth. He can't run very fast. He's stupid. What can he do? Get eat. But the shepherd would stand between the lion and the sheep. David was a shepherd. That kind of gives us a good idea. Let me flip over there and tell you what David said. Just one little verse in 1 Samuel 17. Verse 34. David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him. That is so good news. He came out after me. Came out after you, whether you know it or not. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. When he started to argue with me, I grabbed the lion by his beard and I smote him. This is the shepherd I want watching after me. Okay? Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. You know, I bet you didn't even know this verse was in the Bible. In Amos, famous Amos, chapter 3 and verse 12. Listen to this. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. This was a custom. You guys know, and you can read this in the first verse of Amos, he was a shepherd. He wasn't like the other prophets. Amos was a shepherd. God came to Amos. He's out in the field watching the sheep. So when he says these words here, it was a part of their custom. So even if you were watching sheep and the lion or the bear came up and stole one of your sheep and killed it, you had to go into the lion's den and either get a leg of the lion or a piece of his ear and bring it back to show the owner of the sheep that he didn't get it without a fight, that you went in and you got it back. You see what I mean? And I see this verse come to its fulfillment right in Jesus, because what did Jesus do? He put the man's ear right back on. So Jesus didn't come back with a piece of an ear. Jesus came back and made the man whole. He made the sheep rise up from the dead, the sheep that had been destroyed by the lion and the bear. He didn't just bring back a piece of the ear. He made the whole thing whole. I come that you might have life. That more abundantly, not be in pieces. But that's what salvation is, that you be made whole. That's the good shepherd. He's their protector. The good shepherd was their food, provider of food. He knew ahead of time where the good pasture was. He knew ahead of time where the water was. He counted every sheep, and he didn't drop them off and come back in a few days. And every one of these sheep, part of their custom was, and the way the shepherd really felt about them, a sheep, and I hate to use this word, but I will. What's the first thing you do when you get a pet? give it a name. It's yours, right? I mean, all them dogs in the pound, all them litters of pups are just litters of pups. But once you got yours and you give it a name, now he's special. Now he's sanctified. Now he's yours, right? Now he's different than all the other ones. I don't care if he's the runt, if he's the big fat one, if he's the one with the white dot on him. I don't care. He's yours and you give him a name. And he says, they know him and I know him by name. He gives you your own name. I mean, this is scripture. He gives you a name that nobody else even knows. He's got, I hate to use the word, but I will, his own pet name for you. He's got a name that only he knows. And you know that name. You know, people get married, get in relationships, they get nicknames to each other, baby, honey, whatever. He's got a special name for you that only you know. And when he calls that name, Patty, you know. He doesn't have to get over the intercom at school and say, Josh, please come to the office. No, you know it down in here, somewhere in the inner man. He's calling you. You say, well, I've heard the voice of the living God. And they say, well, I didn't hear anything. He didn't call your name. He called mine. And all these sheep, they would all gather around here. They might be 500 sheep in a watering hole. And there might be 6 or 7 shepherds there. But when the shepherd got ready to go, he just called his sheep by name, and the sheep would just fight their way through the crowd of the other sheep and follow their shepherd right on out into the next green pasture. Because they knew the voice of their shepherd, and the shepherd would call them by name. He's a good shepherd. You notice the shepherd never drives the sheep? We used to drive cows, you know. I mean, that was part of the American West, wasn't it? That's part of America's history. We have cattle drives. They would take these cattle from Texas and drive them up to Montana. Well, that's American church. They get all these cattle, these flocks, and they drive them. But what's the good shepherd? He leads. He just walks out in front because he knows where the water is. He knows where the food is. He knows where the safety is. And he leads. And the sheep, they just follow. They just follow. They follow because he calls them by name and they know the voice. And at nighttime, now this is Middle Eastern culture here. They had these things called sheepfolds, and it took centuries for these things, that how they came in. And they were kind of in the shape of a horseshoe. Okay? Huge stones, great huge stones. So the shepherd would lead the sheep into the sheepfold. They would all come into this place at nighttime. And they would go in to this place, and they would be gathered up in this place. Nobody could get in. And then the shepherd would go and sleep into the doorway to that sheepfold so that nothing could get in there except it come through the door. And what does Jesus say? I mean, he's telling them, he's in the midst of the Pharisees and these shepherds, and listen, I can go on to show you in this verse that these sheep were being gathered out at this time, because if we go on to read the next verse, it says, and it was winter. It was winter time because they were getting ready to come in to the Passover time, which we went over. That's when Jesus was born. So all these shepherds are starting to gather around and bringing their flocks, so they're hearing all of this stuff. And Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the guy who lay. I am the door of these sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I'm the door. Imagine the audience that he was speaking to. These guys would know the scriptures. They would know that this was the words of the relationship of God to Israel. They had always been taught God was their shepherd. As a matter of fact, they heard before you did Psalm 23. How does Psalm 23 start? The Lord is my shepherd. And that's capital L-O-R-D, which means Jehovah. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord Jehovah. The guide of my life is what David said. The director of my every hour. My protector. My provider, both physical and spiritual. He loves me. David is saying, and you got to get this, that the good shepherd here, God, has made himself responsible for me. Do you realize God is responsible for you? Now, what does that tell you? I mean, do you ever just think about these things? I mean, do you think, all right, I mean, down there at the bank, Tracy's got two young girls that are, one of them just had a baby, and the other one's getting ready to, Jasmine. Y'all know Jasmine. She's getting ready to have a baby. She'll be responsible for that baby. Now, listen, you know when that baby comes along, without a doubt, you're going to give your life for that baby. I mean, I don't care if you don't like spiders. What are you going to do when you go in there to the baby crib and there's a spider in that crib? Sorry, spider in there. Sorry, baby, I can't help you. No, that thing's got to go, right? Because you're responsible and you love with everything that's in you, right? My baby's got to be on it. I don't care. You're getting it all. There's something different changes. And God has taken our responsibility of you and me. Lord is my shepherd. Now this word Lord here, Patty mentioned it a little bit. It's the personal name of God. Jehovah. You remember Moses at the burning bush? Moses said, okay, you're going to deliver all these people. And when I go back and tell them who you are, what am I going to tell them your name is? Tell them, I am who I am. That's more English instead of I am that I am. That's King James English. And ours, I am who I am. And it's never past tense. Not I was. Not I'm going to be. He's not limited to time. It's always present tense. He's the I am. He can't be better than he is. He can't be worse than he is because he's always I am. He's not someone that used to be great and then one day he'll be great again. He's the I am. And I am, what does that mean? I mean, you put whatever need you have in there. I need healing. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You ever get backed in a corner? I'm the Lord that supplieth all your needs. You need victory? I am the Lord your banner. Whatever need that you need, he says, I am. I am the Lord. You need peace? I'm the Lord your peace. And it's that one David says is my shepherd. So we could say instead of Lord, we could write, I am is my shepherd. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. I am is my shepherd. So what a shock it was. Jesus didn't say the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus stands there amongst the crowd and says, I am the good shepherd.
Yes.
Can you imagine the fallback of the people who had been quoting Psalm 23 and had it on the refrigerator tattooed on their arm, and he goes out and he says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus didn't come pointing them to God. He said, I am it. I come that you might have life. Jesus is saying, I am Emmanuel. I am the good shepherd that has come among you. I am God in the flesh. The good shepherd had come to dwell with his sheep. To call them by name and to lead them to be his flock. A great gathering. He says, you've heard it for all these generations. The Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm here. You can see me. I mean, this is what John says in the epistles. We've seen him. Our eyes beheld him. We've handled the word of life. Yes. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. See, the only begotten of the Father, the good shepherd, he's standing there, and half the crowd is looking at him saying, who is this guy? They understood not. He goes on to tell them the reason you don't understand him is because you're not a Muslim. If you were, you would know my voice and you would follow me. But you're not. You know, one place there in John, he says, you're of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. But my sheep know my voice. Now, if all of this is true, and you've heard his voice, what does that make us? That makes us a sheep. Have you ever wondered why, of all the animals that God could have chose, why a sheep? Why not a lion? Bear? What about a whale or a shark? You know, I mean, we use all these names for all kinds of people out in the world. No, he's a shark at business. He's a lion to deal with, you know. He's a bear. He's, you know, all. God says, y'all are sheep. I mean, of all the insects, God even gives kudos to the ant. Look at the ant, thou sluggard. You ever just go out and look at an ant before you step on it and crush it and spray your house for them because they're getting everything? He says even ants know how to live in a community. Ants know how to work hard. They serve each other. They all live together. They don't fight amongst each other. You know, have you ever seen two ants arguing on the side of the road? That's my piece of bread. No, it's mine. I got here first. Call the law. No. They just said, you need help. Carry it on back. They both get it. The ant, he said, he didn't call you an ant. Called you a sheep. At least the ants got common sense. Sheep's dumb as a board. Didn't call you a horse. I mean, you can take a horse out, and you can take a wild horse, and you can break a horse, and you can tame a horse, and you can ride a horse, and the horse can be a good animal. Not a sheep. Stupid. Not one among the sheep has got what it takes to be a leader. See, I should stand down there when I say this, don't I? Not one of the sheep is very smart. I mean, not one of the sheep ever rises up to be the shepherd, do they? Not one of the sheep says, I aspire to be the shepherd. He's a sheep. And the other sheep are so stupid, when one sheep gets spooks and runs, All of the other sheep say, look, we got a leader amongst us. Let's follow him. And they run right off the cliff. Look around, guys. Look around in the church world today. I mean, we got people that see a comet in the sky. They go kill themselves for it. I mean, this sounds funny, but we say don't drink the Kool-Aid. Some of our generation, we know about Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid, right? People still drinking that Kool-Aid every day. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Why? Because we're dumb sheep. I used to wonder, why do they do that, God? And he says, man, you drank a pitcher full this morning. Why do you want to talk about everybody else drinking the Kool-Aid? Anybody that's ever had any farm animals know you get a sheep and a goat, and they both get lost. The goat shows back up. You know a dog can find his way home? You take a dog out 47 miles and drop him off, and he gets lost. 2 days later, he shows up at the house. Not a sheep. The sheep couldn't find his way from the backyard to the front yard. He's dumb. Do you know the first animal mentioned in the Bible is a sheep? And the first time this animal is mentioned, he's got a shepherd to watch over him, and it's Abel, who was a keeper of the sheep. In other words, right out of the beginning, God said, these sheep got to have a shepherd. And often, you can search this out. All through the Bible, when you read of sheep, they're either being shepherded or they're lost. There's no in between. The bad thing about it is none of us chose to make the Lord our shepherd. You realize that? Jesus wasn't sitting over there unemployed and then, thank God for me. Jesus didn't have a job, Roger, and I gave him a job. Jesus, you can be my shepherd. Jesus says, thank goodness, I finally have a job. Nah, we were the dumb sheep. We wasn't looking for a shepherd. We was lost in the wilderness, and we didn't even give a hoot. We think we can handle it ourselves. We think there's some shepherd in me. With the right coaching, with the right book, I can be a good shepherd. I can do it. I can handle it. You remember we talked about a few weeks ago? His ways are not our ways. So I set out to be my own shepherd. Go my own way. Doing my own thing. Be my own boss. What's the scripture say in Isaiah? All we, like sheep, have what? Gone astray. All we. Just like them dumb sheep over there have gone astray. Everyone to his own way. So I'm what? I'm the one that went astray. I'm the blind sinner here. That's where we started. Right? That's where we all started. And really, your first step in the kingdom of God is understanding that. Life begins when I realize I'm lost. I don't know where to turn. That's why Jesus could say what? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Finally you've come to realize you are the sheep that was astray. He's the good shepherd. I'm the sheep. We got to get those roles correct. Do you ever wonder if the sheep goes off astray? Now, in my thinking, in my calculated thinking, he's got 100 sheep. That's just a number, right? One goes off astray, he's got 99. Why leave the 99? You know, I'm thinking, hey, look, bears and lions came. I came back with 99. I only lost one. Pretty good deal. Right? I mean, I would think that's a pretty good deal. You know the wilderness I was in, the barren jungles, the desolate places, the lions and the bears, you know how strong they are. And farmer, employer, I've only lost one. Not so with this one. Not so with this one. He ain't losing a one. He's going after the one. Now that sounds strange to me, but he's going after the one. Why is that? He's the good shepherd. I can't explain it. Oh, he's the good shepherd. He made it his responsibility to go after the one. Do you realize, I mean, when you can see it, he made it his responsibility to come after you, no matter what. Because he's a good shepherd. Again, I can't explain it. I just proclaim it. It's the way he is. He loves us. You know, we're singing that song, it's who you are. He's a good father. I can't explain it. It's just who he is. He loves us. He doesn't love us for straying. He doesn't love us for being the rebels that we are. He loves us because that's who he is. Patty quoted this. I started to get my favorite. Said, wait a minute, Patty, you've been cheating off of me. We cannot earn his love. Now, if I can't earn it, I can't lose it. If I can't make him love me, we got to come to that point. If I cannot make him love me, therefore I cannot make him stop loving me. I don't care what you do. Try it. You know, people, I heard this guy say this, and I think it's a beautiful statement. Somebody, he was preaching on the love of God, and somebody said, well, you must not believe in hell. He said, oh, no, I believe in hell, but I believe you'll have to wade through God's love to get there. And even in the midst of hell, the Lord is there. If I make my bed in hell, he says, look, that's where you want to go. I'm going with you. You're my responsibility. You know, we got some God over here that says, oh, I can't have you unholy people around me. If that's the case, Roger, we're all done. We're all done for. But he's the good shepherd. The shepherd loves. The shepherd comes right where the sheep are. Listen, our good shepherd, our great shepherd, loves us so much. He knew that a shepherd couldn't fully appreciate how it felt to be a sheep. So what did he do? He became a sheep. He became the Lamb of God. So now when I go to God, he knows exactly how it feels to be a sheep. And this one died for me, laid his life down for me. And in the next, in verse 14, it says, and I know my own, they know me. This is the risen Savior. Do you ever, I'm just talking here a little bit. Do you remember the first time you heard his voice? When I'm speaking with people, everybody in here, I believe has heard the voice of God. Did not something leap inside of you? I mean, you may have heard a preacher preaching or a song or something, but something leaped inside of you. Just like John, when he heard about his Savior, something leaped inside of you. I think about, when I was reading it in John, that's when I was just reading about that woman at the well. And wow, she leaves her water pot and goes back to her town. And she's preaching the gospel. A woman is preaching the gospel. I mean, who could allow a woman to preach a church? I mean, good God. You know what I'm talking about. Come see a man. What a gospel statement. Come see a man. Come and see a man. You know, Jesus would say, even as I know the Father, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And the way that was total openness, transparent intimacy. And Jesus says, in that way I know my sheep. It's nothing hidden. So much so he knows them. He gave them personal names. We're called into relationship with him, into the greatest intimacy, into a fellowship that is beyond words. You're called to know him, not know about him. And that's why you follow. And he knows you. And he looks at you. Do you realize that? God looks at you. You ever just walk into your little baby when they was asleep? Just stand over them and look at them? I bet you. And see, we lose that, Roger. We think we grow out of that. Do you know last night while you was asleep, God and myriads of angels and Jesus was standing over your bed just looking at you. And I could say this, smiling. Did you ever just go and look at your baby and just look at it and say, man, you're the ugliest. Why even brought you into this world? Stink up the place. Selfish, cry all night long, changing diapers. Did you ever say that? No, you did not. You look at the little, oh, the little baby, baby, boo, boo. Oh, the little baby. Right? I'm just telling you the truth of the matter. God stood over you last night. He's standing around you now because he's the good, good Father. He's the good shepherd. That's who he is, and he loves us. And when I go to sleep at night, he's there watching over me. He's watching over my kids, watching over my family, watching over everything. He's a good Father. Have you ever been woke up in the middle of the night, something you needed to check on because something woke you up? Who do you think it was woke you up? Patty, you left the stove on. All right. Whew, thank God I left the stove on last night. Who woke you up? Good Father. Good Father. It's who he is. He looks at me and he says, I know who you are, and he smiles. He doesn't look at you and say, oh my God. He looks at you and smiles. Can you fathom that? That God loves you, and that he delights over you, and his desire is that your joy be full. Can you even fathom that? Listen, where I grew up, this was an impossibility. God was so holy, I didn't even really want to be in his presence. Because I knew, you know, I just couldn't cut it. I couldn't hack it. And then when I tried to get in his presence, and I messed it up, then I'm going to get kidney stones or cancer or something else. Because that's the way it was. They hear these preachers going around and say, you know what? When we get to straight as a gate, narrow as a way, there ain't been a few of y'all going to make it. Because y'all ain't as tough as me. Well, look, he says, y'all are just a sheep. And find me a tough sheep. Keep the things in context. Find me a tough sheep. Listen, I've tried to be tough, Roger, and I've never made it. I was thinking the other day, I was looking, and I began to look at these things, and you know, I see things in a different light sometimes. I feel the stress of this world. I don't know about you guys, but I always have that. I have a disease called, I've got too much month left at the end of the money. Does anybody else have that? I'm thinking, man, this is a long month. Gosh, thought I just paid the electric bill. Stupid things do again. Here it comes. And I'm thinking, Lord, why can't we have free electricity? Something. I don't know. So I began to stress out. I don't know about you dudes, but feel myself get sucked down into this thing. And I say, man, where's the shepherd? Where's the shepherd? You ever ask that question? Where's the shepherd? Lord, do you see this? But now I'm beginning to see things differently, Patty. Now I begin to see the electric bill, and I'll say, you know what, Lord? I ain't got the money. Here it is, Lord. Denise knows what I'm talking about. Here it is, Lord. I'm like Hezekiah. I don't know what we're going to do, but they sent this bill to the wrong place. It's yours. I don't know what. And every time something happens and it's just there, I don't know. I begin to see, when I start to get stressed down and pulled down by it, I say, Lord, we're in this situation. He says, I know. I know we're in it. You're not bringing it to my attention. I knew we was going in it. You made some stupid mistakes, but I'm still in it with you. I'm here with you, and we're going to get through this thing. Just follow me. I'll lead you beside still waters. I'll lead you into these good paths. I'll lead you into this sweet water. I will. Because that's who I am. I'm the good shepherd. And I can be transparent with him. I don't have to look at it and say, Lord, last week or last month, I just took too many hot showers and I've run this electric bill up and I was stupid. He says, oh, I know. But that's all right. I took responsibility for you. God is responsible for me.
Yes.
And he teaches me. Yeah, he teaches me. But it's in that comfort of knowing that I don't have to be scared of him anymore. He's so awesome in his power and his glory and his might. Every time he comes on the scene, he always says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'm the good shepherd. He cares for me. The Bible, Paul would say this. Do you realize that he ever liveth to make intercession? Now see, I always thought that meant I was so bad and he's up there begging God. But he ever lives. He ever lives that my joy might be full. His one purpose. He doesn't have another agenda. God has no other agenda. None. You're it. You're his agenda. You're not a by-time product. Listen, Josh goes to class. I've got 10,000 things going on. I'm trying to get my profession right. I'm trying to, get a family. I'm trying to do this. God's got one. You. That's it. One agenda. Ever live to make intercession. And we know him. How do we know him? Let me give you a scripture here. Now I'm going to get out of the way here in just a second. How do we know? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm in Romans 8. Led. What is that? Here we're back to the shepherd again, ain't we? The shepherd who leads his flock. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's not the spirit you've received. They've been trying to scare me my whole life. And he says, if fear comes with it, throw it down. It ain't of God. This is it. I didn't give you the spirit of fear again to bondage. You're in bondage. It didn't come from me. I come that you might be free, have liberty.
Yes.
In the midst of everything, might have liberty. You've received the spirit of adoption. I've been brought into the flock of God that you might be the whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen, I heard this guy talking one time. He was in New York. We don't really know what the term Abba means when Jesus used the term Abba. I mean, it means daddy, but you got to understand, there's probably more Jews in New York than there are in the Middle East. And he said he would ride the train. Well, you know, these Jews all got long beards. And he said, on that train, these little kids would go up and sit on their daddy's lap, and they would pull, their daddies would be talking, like me and Patty's talking, and their little kid would pull on her beard and go, Abba, Abba, Abba. Would pull on her daddy's beard, Abba, Abba. And the father would look at him and he would talk to the son. And when he would start talking again, the little boy would, Abba, 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 pulling on his beard. And the father would look at him and he knew that it was his son and they had this intimate relationship. And in the middle of the conversation, they could be discussing whatever, but he would answer the little son's question. Do you realize? I mean, they could be talking about big, powerful things. Abba, Abba, do you see the bluebird? Do you see the bluebird? Yes, son, I see the bluebird. Abba, 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 do you see the ant? Look at the ant, Abba, Abba. Do you see what I'm talking about? I mean, is this not a blessed assurance?
Yeah.
A hope, an anchor for the soul? Abba, Abba. Say that, Abba, Abba. We got these pictures of God in a big old white beard. Well, if that's the way you want to see it, Josh, that's fine. Sit on his lap, pull his beard, and go, Abba, Abba. Does he say, quit pulling my beard, you little pumpkin? No, he says, what do you want, Josh? What do you want? I'm here for you. I'm the good father. I'm the good shepherd. You can pull my beard all day long. I grew it for you to pull on it. Does this not make it to what just happened back there in the room, Josh, with Taylor? Where does she have her hands? All up on your face, squeezing Josh's face. You're squeezing Josh's face. Little old kid, that's us, sitting on the father's lap, you're squeezing his face. Abba, Abba. He calls you by name and he knows him and he says, I know my sheep. He knows you. I know my sheep. And they hear my voice and they follow me. I know that they will not follow. I get off of his lap and I go out and I stumble. He comes and gets me. Every time he comes and gets me. You know, he's got a scarf that he wears and it's me. Because he took that sheep and put it right up over his neck. Carried that sheep home. That's why you follow him. You're not beaten into subjection. Nobody beats you to follow Jesus. Nobody can threaten you to follow Jesus. I hear that all the time. Threaten, threaten, threaten. Hellfire, threaten, threaten, threaten. He's a good shepherd. There's no threat in him. There's no deceit in his eyes. It's only love in his eyes. Nobody bangs you on the head. You hear his voice and you follow. He doesn't drag anybody. He just walks up. I mean, that's how he did in my life. He just walked up, man. Follow me. What am I going to do? What are you going to do, Kathy, when he walks up and you've been fishing all day and you've been towing in the toils of this life and your nets are neat mending and all this stuff is going on? And I would think he would want me prepared. voices. Come on. That's what he does. And you, what do? I look at them gnats that need mending and I say, shepherd just came into my life. And he said, follow me. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what we're doing. I don't have a clue. He didn't say you had to know where we're going or what we're doing. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I'll lead you into good pasture. I'll bring you into water that's plenty, the water of life that flows. Now listen. When David, you know, we could say this verse this way. We could say, the Lord is our shepherd. David doesn't say that. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Because sometimes it's just the personal thing. It's just personal. The things that I've been through, the Lord is my shepherd. The things that you've been through, he's your shepherd. He's our shepherd. But I love how Paul said, who loved me? Oh yeah, he loved the world. Yeah, I'm thankful that he loved the world. Gave himself to the world, but he loved me. He's responsible for me, Roger. He comes after me every time I stumble and fall. The Lord is there coming after me. There's no line in the sand. He said, that's enough. I'm tired of you. He just brings me back, sets me on his lap, and when I pull up that beard, Song of Solomon. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. You know what noon was? Noon, that was the hour when it got dark on the cross. Sixth to the ninth hour. The sixth hour was noon. Where? Tell me where thou feedest the flock. Where the flock rest at noon. I can rest in his perfect display of love, because that's what the cross was. God's perfect display of his love for me. That no matter what I do to him, even if I put him on the cross, and listen, what we did, Josh, we didn't pull on his beard and say, Abba, Father. We pulled it out and said, I'll not have this man to rule over me. But in this perfect love, he says, you know what? You don't understand, but that's okay. I love you anyway. I made you. I'm responsible for you. And I'll love you always. She says, I know not, O thou fairest among women. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. Follow them footsteps. I don't know where he's at, but I see some footprints right here. And I follow the footprints, and they'll lead me right to the flock of God. And then she says these words, my beloved is mine. She didn't stop there. And I am his. And he feedeth among the lilies. If he's feeding among the lilies, where are you? Feeding among the lilies. Then this last one. I love this verse. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 10. I am my beloved's. I belong to him. I belong to my beloved. And his desire is towards me. Did you ever just let that sink? His desire is towards me. I'm telling you what, guys. If you can get a hold of this, that he's not some holy, he is holy, okay? But it's not some standoffish God distant over there who's waiting to kill you with everybody else and you can't approach him. In Christ Jesus, you've been brought to the bosom of the Father. That's in the lap. That's what the bosom is, the bosom of Abraham. That means you've been brought into the bosom of the Father, the covenant God. You've been brought into Abraham's bosom. That means you've been brought into the lap of God, the very lap of God, Josh, where you sit on his lap and you have his sole intention is to look at every ant you do, because he looks at sheep, the Lamb of God. I hope you get this. Because I'm going to stop right there and come into our table.